But I don't know why he saved the worst for last, but here we are. Thought he'd let the young buck go first, then the more experienced ones preach. But I didn't talk to Brother Ricky, and I know he don't need to talk to me because he can preach just fine, but we're kind of on the same level here. That was great preaching by Brother Sam. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. Begin reading there at verse 24. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. If you would, please bow your head and your hearts with me tonight. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the privilege to preach to these people. Lord, I thank you, God, the privilege to preach your word. I ask you to anoint my lips of clay, make my pen as the tongue of the... My tongue is a pen of the ready writer. I ask you to help me to say everything and have me to say nothing more, nothing less. Breathe upon us in this service. With your name we pray, amen. Brother Ricky was preaching right along the lines, and I just was thinking about here where it talks about, if you go to chapter 24, you read about Felix and how Felix, if I could preach tonight, I'd like to preach on an all-the-way experience. An all-the-way experience. We read here in chapter 24 where Felix had an almost experience. He almost had an experience. He almost had an all-the-way experience. And you read where in chapter 24 where the Apostle Paul is preaching and he's testifying like he has in 26. And he talks to Felix and he says, as Paul reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. You know, I thank young people. Here we are in this camp meeting, you know, and I see different ones that were here last year and different ones that I've seen through the years. And I think about Brother Shoecraft and Uncle Paul, you know, there's different ones that have come to our churches and they said, you know, at a different season, maybe I'll get saved. At a different season, maybe I'll make things right with God. At a different season, maybe I'll do what I need to do. Oh, but they turn aside and they don't get that experience that they could have, Sister Betty. They don't get that all the way experience, but they settle for second best. Brother Routon said best is not, or good is bad because it's not the best, amen? The best is the best. You have to have an all the way experience. Felix did not get an all-the-way experience, but he had his wife Drusilla with him, and I can imagine as she looked at him and said, not now, honey. Now's not the time. We've got too much to do. Now's not the time. Can you hear, Brother Jimbo? And surely there's people here tonight, that, or maybe even that will come tonight, that their wife is holding them back, or their children is holding them back, or their job are holding them back from an all-the-way experience, amen? They could have something from God. Y'all ain't going to help me preach tonight. The preaching was too good before, Brother Jimbo. I don't think I'm going to get help, but I'm telling you what. We need to have an all-the-way experience like the Apostle Paul did, amen? He talked about like Brother Savage was preaching, how he started to testify. King Agrippa made a big mistake. He said, Paul, go ahead and speak. You can speak freely. That was a big mistake to give the Apostle Paul half a chance, amen? So he stood up and he had his own little testimony service. That's what I like about the Apostle Paul is it don't matter if they're going to listen or not. He's just going to testify. So he got to telling about how he was on the road to Damascus and Jesus came by and spoke to him. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's not easy for thee to kick against the pricks. So we see where he has a life-changing experience. Savage, amen. He has an all-the-way experience with God. And now here he is standing before King Agrippa with an all-the-way experience, telling King Agrippa, here I am, I've had my all-the-way experience. And he explains to him what's happened in his life. And King Agrippa listens. So we see where Felix holds Paul in 24. Give me a glass of water. Where he sees where, pray for me. He sees where in chapter 24 where Felix holds the Apostle Paul for a couple more years. And then you go down and you see in 25 where Paul appears before Caesar. And then he appears in front of King Agrippa goes to Festus. And then Paul appears before King Agrippa. And here we are. And then we see where packing mama, somebody that took drugs and shot in her arms and was in jail and in and out of jail. All you hear is her pretty poems she gets up and tells on Valentine's Day. All you get to hear is her great testimony. She testifies every service at the church about what God's done for her. She's been saved for how many years now, Sister Betty? 20-something years? 22 years, and every service she's got a testimony. Every service she's got something to thank God for. That is an all-the-way experience, amen? You see, Brother Chip, you think of him as hippy-chippy. Nobody thinks of him as that because we can't picture Chip with long hair and with, you know, with a beard or something and you know, a pothead hooked on dope and on drugs and on alcohol. But that's Chip right there. He was once a hippy-chippy. Oh, but now he's had an all-the-way experience with God, and he's given his heart to God, amen? I want an all-the-way experience, young people, in my life. I want to give God my heart like Brother Chip has. I want to give God my heart like Sister Betty has. I want to give God my heart like Brother Sam has, like different ones have. I want to dedicate my life to Him. That's the one thing. We don't need an almost experience in this last generation, young people. We need to rededicate our life. Oh, we've made commitments, amen, like Sam was preaching on a covenant that God's given us. But there's a lot of us here that have committed to God. We said, God, you know, maybe last year we said, God, I'll do this for you. Maybe there's some here tonight. They said, God, I know you've called me to do a work for you. And then you kind of just look around and see if anybody notices. Then you just sit back down and you go settling for your almost experience, for your second best. You don't do what you could do. Excuse me. I'm getting to that, Uncle Paul. Amen. And so you settle for second best. That's my last one. I'll go. Hang on now. Just stick with me. Okay, so we see here where Paul, before King Agrippa. All right, now he's preaching like I'm trying to. He's probably doing a lot better. I'm thinking tonight, young people, you know, tonight, like I said, you might have dedicated your life to God and said, Lord, maybe last year at camp meeting time, or maybe youth camp's only a couple weeks away, Mount Olive, and you may have said back then, God, I'm going to do something for you. I know you've called me to do the missionary work, or to be a preacher, or just to be a Sunday school teacher, or a help in the church. And now here it is next year, and you look back. I look back myself and see where I am, and I measure myself from where I was last year and where I could be and where I am, and it gets me upset. I want to get more. I want to do more. I want to strive to be better. I want to have more of an all-the-way experience, amen? I don't want to settle for second best or just an almost experience, but I want to get more from God. So you see where you could be better and you could do best, but we don't have to settle for an almost experience. We can get something from God in this revival. Oh, there's only a couple nights left, yes, but you can still dedicate yourself tonight to God, amen? You can still do something for God if you'll give yourself to God. Amen. It says in Hebrews 12:1, we've all heard it, lay aside the weight and the sin that does so easily beset you, and run with patience the race that is set before you. Maybe somebody here tonight says, well, I'm not a sinner. I've been in church my whole life. I'm not sinning. I'm not wrong. I'm where I need to be. But you know what? There's maybe be some weights in your life. Maybe there's a boyfriend or a girlfriend, or maybe somebody in your life, maybe a friend, just a friend that's a weight in your life. Maybe there's just something little that's weighing you down, that's keeping you from that almost experience, amen? From that all-the-way experience, and now you're settling for an almost experience. You're just settling for second best when there's a weight in your life that's keeping you down. It says in Galatians, I think it is 5:7 or 5:6, it says, him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And you know better than what you're doing. You know you're sitting complacent on your chair during church when you should get up and testify, or when you should get up and have a song ready. You know what you're doing is wrong because you should have a zeal and a zealous for God. Oh, but you're just settling for second best when you can have an all-the-way experience with God. Amen. Brother Brent was teaching Sunday school, I guess it was last Sunday, for the young people. He was talking about the Beatitudes, and he was going through the list, and in I guess it's Matthew chapter 5, he was going through poor in spirit, blessed are they who are poor in spirit, that mourn, the meek, and then he got down to those that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Those that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Brent was talking, he said, what's it going to take for revival in this last day? It's going to take a hunger and a thirst for God again, young people. We're going to have to get so zealous, just like they did on Azusa Street, for God, that if it takes coming 2 hours early to church just to get to feel God's presence, we're going to have to do what it takes, amen. We're going to have to get that hunger and thirst back. I never thought about it before, but the Word of God, I was just thinking, the Word of God is like the bread. We compare that to the bread of life, amen. The Word of God is the bread of life. So that's your hunger right there. You got to get hungry for the Word of God again, young people. We've got to get hungry for the Word of God again. We've got to get a desire to read God's Word again, a desire to do God, to learn God's Word and to study to show ourselves approved. And then you go down and you read where it talks about thirst. And like Brother Lloyd Shoecraft preached so good last night on plenty of water, you get that thirst for the Holy Ghost, amen. I told you I'd get to the water. You get to the Holy Ghost, amen. That's where you bring the water in. And if we get hungry for God's Word and hungry for a thirst, amen, that means we could get somewhere with God. We could have a desire for the fire again. We could get somewhere with God. We could have a genuine moving of the Holy Spirit in our churches again. If the young people would get a desire to see God move, not 40 like you did 30 or 40 years ago, but right now in our generation, in this last generation, to get Him to move like He did before, but greater in a greater way. We need Him greater. We're in a wicked generation. We need more of God now than they did then. Well, let's not settle for second best, amen. I don't want to settle for just a little bit. Personal life, I think about the things that I've settled for. My mom and dad moved and they backslid, and now dad's back in church and mom's not saved, but I think about how dad let it decline. I think about my own life and where I would be today if I wouldn't have settled to go there. I had to. I was just only 14 or 13, well, I was 10, and then I left at 13 or 14, but I settled and I had to go. But I wonder what God would do for some of you that's been through here this, you know, the whole time that you've been in church your whole life, if you've just settled for an almost relationship with God. If you just settled for just a little bit, just enough to keep you feel like you feel good, just to come to church and sit on the pew and just to know that you're just okay and you're just settling to be okay, but you really don't have a desire for the fire. You really haven't got that desire to have an all the way experience. Oh, you don't have to be saved from drugs and from alcohol. You can stay saved your whole life. You can start as a young boy and be raised in church your whole life and stay saved, amen. But let's not settle for almost. Let's settle for an all-the-way experience with God.
Amen. Amen. Would you stand? Amen. Everybody stand.